The primary purpose of the ADRC is to provide customers with unbiased information about services that will meet their needs. This includes sharing information with customers about all agencies that provide needed services. The ADRC does not endorse or recommend any specific agency or service provider, including those that have chosen to sponsor or participate in an interview for this podcast. Welcome to the Journey Ahead podcast, Aging Well in the Chippewa Valley. I'm Tom from Volume 1, which presents this podcast in partnership with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eau Claire County, with support from our sponsors, Grace Home Respiratory and All-Star Elevator and Mobility Solutions. Here's your host, Lisa Wells.
I'm Lisa Wells, Dementia Care Specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eau Claire County, and you're listening to a podcast on aging well in the Chippewa Valley. The goal of the podcast is to provide education about aging well, living with dementia, and staying active and healthy in the community. So thank you for joining us.
Today, our discussion is on the benefits of humor and laughter as we age. You know, wrinkles, creaks in your bones, and getting up 1 to 2 times a night to go to the bathroom is not a lot of fun. For others, chronic conditions, disabilities, cognitive decline, and more. Well, that's not something to find humor in. Not at all occasions are for amusement, but many events in life can fall into the category of ordinary living, giving us the choice to find humor in them or not. So you've all heard the phrase, aging isn't for sissies, but as we brave some of the more serious side of aging, it's important to incorporate ways to experience life's lighter side to keep us balanced and be able to cope. In fact, we know that laughter and a healthy dose of humor have been shown in studies to improve your physical, psychological, and social well-being, and probably the only medicine we don't have to pay for. So here to discuss this free resource available to all of us is Tom Kidd. Tom taught middle school for 33 years, is a past adjunct faculty member, has written books, and publicly speaks to students, parents in the community, organizations, employees, just about anybody who will listen to him probably, and managers from companies, as he provides more than 100 different health, wellness-related topics through his own business called Balanced Wellness Services. So thank you, Tom, for joining us here on the Journey Ahead podcast.
You're welcome and nice to be here.
So let's start out with an easy question for you, I suppose, but what makes you laugh?
Well, personally, my grandkids. My grandkids, when they are around me, I laugh exponentially. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a little story to tell. Just this past summer, my 5-year-old granddaughter and I went to the Fairfax pool, and they took a little break to make sure you're on the buddy system and everything. Mm-hmm. And so it was time to go back in the pool, and we were holding hands back to the pool, and she said, "Bop, bop," that's what she calls mm-hmm. me. "Are you going to die someday?" And I thought, oh boy, that's kind of a deep subject here at Fairfax mm-hmm. pool. And I said, "Yeah, everything that's living is going to die." I thought I could teach a little lesson there. She said, "Are you going to, when you die, are you going to take your convertible to heaven?" So they allow us to just soak in the laughter and soak in the humor. And then the second place, the second thing that makes me laugh is watching others laugh.
Yes.
Actually, I was teaching grad classes to teachers, and I did a little spoof on laughter and how important it was. And I would have a CD of different people's laughs as they came into the mm-hmm. class. And within 5 minutes, everybody was laughing. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely contagious.
It is.
So good. So grandkids and watching others.
Yes. And, you know, as you're talking about, you know, listening to other people laugh, you know, when you hear the laugh of a baby, you know, that deep belly laugh, you know, that's so beautiful.
Right.
And there, a while ago, I remember seeing, I think it was maybe even a Coca-Cola commercial. I can't remember whether it was a guy who was on, they were on a bus or something, and he was watching something, and he started to laugh, and just that deep, deep laugh. And before you know it, looking around the rest of the bus, and more people are starting to laugh, and more people. And then pretty soon, the whole, you know, everybody on that bus were laughing his laugh was so contagious. So that is so true.
Yeah, it's a contagious in a good way in today's world.
So, you know, have you always had a good sense of humor, or has it kind of developed as you've gotten older? I mean, have you always been able to laugh like this?
You know, I think I have had to develop it. I never had a sense of humor. I'm very poor at telling jokes. In fact, some of my friends laugh at me when I try to tell jokes. Mm-hmm. But I personally think it's a skill, and I think it's something that you need to anticipate, be more aware of, and then look for. Mm-hmm. Hang with people that make you laugh. Mm-hmm. Look at cartoons in the newspaper. Read books that are funny. Watch old TV shows that are hilarious. Mm-hmm. So I think that you develop it when you look for it, then you appreciate it more, and then you live with it.
Yes.
And you know how important it is.
Yes. And, you know, really that could be at any age, right? I mean, you don't have to be older.
No.
But I think you're right. You really do. You have to look for it because there's so much stuff going on in the world. There's so many tragedies. There's so many things that we can focus on that aren't good, that are tough to be aware of even. So really, right. You know, we have to look for that goodness sometimes.
Right.
So how did you get started then on giving presentations on this topic? Because that's what you love to do.
Well, that's an interesting question, Lisa. I did research with a professor from La Crosse, Dr. Dick Dietert, for about 7 years. And we looked at professional developers and what they found to be the top five important pieces in personal wellness, people's lives, personal rejuvenation, that type of thing. And inevitably, laughter and humor came up in the top five. So I said, well, if that's a fact and it's so needed, then we should be talking about it. And I should be sharing the benefits of laughter and how important it is and how to anticipate and look for it. And so I started adding it into my grad classes with students and teachers and found it out that it was a critical part. And then businesses took it on because it's important to everybody. Like mm-hmm. you said, kids, mm-hmm. you know, middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students, adults, and teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you actually added a course in?
I didn't add a course in.
Well, just
I
kind
put
of
it in
put
a course
in a
of
course.
Wellness
yep,
you added. Rejuvenation, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Maybe every teacher, professor, instructor, that would be a good idea to try and do. Mm-hmm. So for a person to find humor, do you think it's something that's automatic or do you think it's a skill set? Because I've known a lot of people that, boy, it takes an awful lot to make them smile or even laugh.
Yeah. No, I definitely don't think it's automatic. I think it is a skill set. And I think it's got to be shown to folks how important it is. It's got to be shown to folks the benefits, mental, emotional, physical benefits. And then once that happens and they understand and they feel it, they feel the benefit, then I think they look for more.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go to a comedy show that's clean and good for them where they're laughing and crying and blowing the nose because they're just having a hilarious time.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, you know how good that, you know, a good belly laugh, you know, I was just trying to think even today, when was the last time I really had that, you know, that good belly laugh yeah. where, you know, you're laughing so hard or, you know, remember when you were a kid and you'd be like in church or you'd be someplace yep. where you're supposed to be quiet
right.
and you just couldn't stop laughing.
The worst part.
And, you know, I don't think as adults, I don't think we do that anymore, you
we
know.
Don't.
And I just think that's so good and so important that we're able to do that.
Yep.
Do you have to be funny to have a sense of humor or do you have to learn to see the lighter side of things?
You don't have to be funny. You just need, again, to look and appreciate and share. You know, share funny humorous pieces, share funny slides, share funny quips that you find on the internet that are appropriate for people to brighten their day, to get them to laugh, for them to share it with somebody else. Get down on your hands and knees with your kids, your grandkids, and laugh and just mm-hmm. giggle. Get out on that playground and have fun mm-hmm. while you laugh.
Yeah, and maybe turn off the TV.
Turn off the TV, shut the phone off, get off the internet and enjoy life, slow down, and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Just laugh.
And be with people. And,
exactly.
Because, you know, if you really do sit, you know, I guess I would challenge anybody just to go sit maybe at a park bench. And, you know, I love people watching. I'm a people watcher. It's fun to do that. And you inevitably will find something to smile at or something
That's
to
right.
laugh at. You
That's
know, it's
right.
it's all around us everywhere.
It is.
You know, we can choose to either look on look at the negative part of things, or we can choose to look at maybe sort of the lighter things.
That's interesting you say that, Lisa. I actually have a presentation called Celebrating What's Right in the World.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of looking at all the gloom and doom with politics and the wars and everything that's there, mm-hmm. you can actually search out things that are doing well and celebrate those things. And one of them is people who are happy, people who are laughing, people who are enjoying humor in their lifestyle and emulate them, mm-hmm. try to be like them.
Yeah. Yep. And I think for myself, too, as I've gotten older, I've learned to, you know, I can't go back. So I try not to look back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, if I go forward, you know, it just gives me anxiety. All I have is this present moment.
Right.
And
exactly.
So just, you know, being in the moment, looking around me, you know, looking at the five senses,
yep.
what brings me peace, what brings me happiness, what makes me smile. So really, I think trying to be present.
There you go. And appreciating the moment.
Yes. And, you know, if we were, you know, like we said, turning off the TV, the phones, and being present with your families, you know. I have grandchildren as well, and so I'm learning how much fun and how much joy,
yeah.
just some of the things that they talk about and say that make me smile.
Oh, sure.
But do you think, you know, as we get older and we've, you know, have struggles and trauma and all kinds of stuff, you know, illnesses, mm-hmm. family dynamics stuff, do you think that we laugh less as we get older?
We definitely laugh less. The research shows that kids laugh an average of 120 times a day, adults 17. That is completely opposite of what I think should happen as we live our life, or it should be balanced in there. Dr. Norman Cousins, a researcher and wrote a book, The Anatomy of an Illness, says that we should laugh 6.5 minutes of belly laughter a day. A day.
We'd burn a lot of calories.
We'd burn a lot of calories and we'd have a lot of fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think doctors ought to prescribe laughter, certain number of minutes of laughter a day. And like you said, it's free. There's no copay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just feel that it's important to laugh. It's important to put that 6.5 minutes there and say, you know what? Am I even close to that?
Mm-hmm.
Every day? How many seconds have I laughed today already? And ask yourself that intermittently during the day.
Mm-hmm. You brought up a name that I know of. I haven't read his book, but Dr. Norman Cousins, I've certainly heard of him. And I think if I remember right, he had a debilitating illness. Mm-hmm. I think maybe almost an illness that could have killed him.
Yep.
But he chose to watch, like, was in a whole bunch of funny movies,
yes.
throughout the day, and he just laughed, and almost like he laughed his way to better health.
Right. He actually was given 2 months to live with some type of cancer, lived 37 years later.
Wow.
He died at the happy old age of 90-some years old.
Wow.
I don't recollect right off the top, but yeah, and he proved that it adds to longevity, and it increases your immune system and ba 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 ba, right,
mm-hmm.
down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, great book to read. Will solidify the need for humor and laughter from a scientific point of view, and an interesting book to read as well.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll have to get that one out again
because
I do remember him. So what are some ways that people can find humor in tough situations?
Yeah, well. Okay, so let's take this situation like a death. You know, how do you find humor in death like you want to? You know, the Irish have it right. They don't grieve a lot at a funeral. They get together as a group and they tell stories, good stories about the person who's passed away. A lot of them are funny. And I think, you know, in situations like death, in the right perspective at the right time,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important to recollect some of those times where you laughed with him or her, or they made you laugh, and share those because that's what makes everybody that's surviving feel better, and that's what it's all about anyway. Even situations that are tough, you know, the divorce and depression and all those, I just think you need to search, look for, anticipate, and find things that bring you joy through laughter. And that's an intentional process, and it's not easy because it's not, I don't believe it's a normal process. It has to be intentional on purpose. And so I think just anticipation of what you can do to make me smile or laugh when times are really tough is critically important.
So it's almost like kind of having a plan.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You know, we have a plan for everything else. We have a plan. We have insurance, you know, all these things for the what ifs.
Yes.
It's almost like when there comes a time when there's going to be some grief or loss or something else going on, kind of like what are some coping strategies or ways you can feel better, and what are some things that bring you joy?
Exactly. And if I was to teach a class on laughter, I would have them develop a plan for their laughter integration in their lifestyle, because it needs to be a plan. You're absolutely right, Lisa.
So let's pretend we're in a class.
Okay.
All right. And you're going to prescribe, we're going to do just that. What would it look like? Kind of throwing you under the bus here.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Really quick, like off the cuff. What do you think?
It would be a brainstorm session because I certainly don't have all the answers. It would be a list and choose your top three priorities that make you laugh and find joy, because it's different for every person. What makes you laugh is different
than
what makes me laugh. And then I would add an act piece on there. What are you going to do about adding more laughter into your life? How are you going to do it? What are you going to do? When are you going to do it? Where are you going to do it? And then write that plan out and have it visible, because I believe that people accomplish more of their plans if they have a plan that's visible and they can see it.
So. Put it on your refrigerator, right?
Exactly.
Put it on your bathroom mirror, something that you see every day.
Every day.
Because we do have to see it, and it does have to be a choice.
And put it on that screensaver of your phone, so that tells you to put the phone away.
Put that phone down.
Right.
We'll get back to the podcast in a minute, but first I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Grace Home Respiratory. We're excited to have their support for the podcast because, just like us, they're locally owned and operated. If you or someone you care about needs medical equipment or supplies, wheelchairs, walkers, hospital beds, portable oxygen concentrators, even CPAPs and BiPAPs, Grace Home Respiratory is right there to help. They're committed to helping you live a life of independence. They realize that shopping for the specialty medical products you need can be a challenge, which is why being locally owned and operated is key. They do everything in-house from their location right in Altoona. So if you have a question about billing or anything else, you know you'll be talking to someone from just down the road. Find out more about Grace Home Respiratory online at ghr-ec.com, or you can call them toll-free at 877-230-1622. Now, back to the podcast.
You know, we've talked a lot about this, but can you think of some other benefits of laughter? You know, you've probably looked at the research. I mean,
yes. In fact, when I do talk about humor and laughter to audiences, not only do I share the physical benefits, but there's mental benefits and there's emotional benefits, like you said earlier. And some of the benefits are increased circulation, just more oxygen around. You want to just feel less tired? Laugh more. Another one, truly based in the research, like Dr. Norman Cousins says, you live longer. Another one would be your stomach secretes more enzymes to have less ulcers occur.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, who would think
of
that?
Yeah.
Decrease blood pressure, increase heart rate to a good point. Increase endorphins and dopamine, the good feel chemicals in your body. It actually helps body fight infection. That's why a lot of people, after they laugh, have to blow their nose. Actually, the mucus is coming to fight off some of the infection. Actually, like myself, I cry when I laugh a lot. I'm just pouring tears.
Yeah.
Well, actually, tears are toxins. So when you laugh and cry and have to blow your nose after a good old laugh, boy, you're doing well. You're getting rid of toxins and bringing some of that mucus up to defend some of the germs. There's more antibodies. It helps fight infection. It relaxes your muscles and helps transport nutrients. So again, you feel better because the food particles, the nutrients in food are being transferred because there's more oxygen going around, more red blood cells going around.
So there are so many benefits.
Oh.
Do you have some, you know, as far as like other books or other resources? So if somebody is just looking, like, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of things online. I mean, you can watch all kinds of funny videos, things like that. But are there, do you have any good resources that you like to go to or that you would recommend for people, whether it be a book or a good movie? Or
yeah. Well, we all can find good movies. You just go to the humor or laughter or comedy section on your TV.
I just have to say my favorite movie ever that makes me laugh until I cry, till I have that deep belly laugh, is What About Bob?
Oh,
that is
actually
my favorite.
A wonderful one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I have so many. I don't even know where to begin because I do intentionally search them out. But there is one site, and I hate to go back to the internet piece, mm-hmm. called The Humor Project. And just type in humorproject.com. And weekly they give books, they give movies, they give jokes, they give cartoons for the sole reason of making people enjoy laughter. Humorproject.com.
Humor Project, okay. Yeah.
And so I would highly recommend that one because that will give you a variety of books, videos, movies, mm-hmm. Things to do, mm-hmm. conferences to go to. Mm-hmm. And that one I would recommend.
You know, I think, like you mentioned, that sometimes you would incorporate some type of some laughter in your classes that you did. Wouldn't it be great if every classroom or university or business just had, maybe they had a happiness club or, you know, a happiness project or just somehow, some way incorporated that part of working, part of going to college, part of going to school. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. And it's interesting you say that because the research shows that when people laugh, more blood flow goes to the frontal lobe, the prefrontal cortex mm-hmm. of your brain. Mm-hmm. And when you laugh and or exercise or both at the same time, hint, hint, mm-hmm. Whatever you learn during that process when the blood flows in the prefrontal cortex stays in your brain for a significantly long period of time. So as a teacher, I would not start a class off without telling a joke, funny story, or embarrassing moment. Mm-hmm. I actually had an endorphin-releasing library where kids could go to before class, find a good, they were all appropriate, fun, you know, mm-hmm. clean jokes, and share it with the class, unless I had one. Mm-hmm. And I always share something funny in the beginning of one of my talks, keynotes, whatever, because, number one, it starts bonding with people. It is a number one bonder, food and laughter, mm-hmm. by the way. And number two, it lets them know you're human mm-hmm. and it's enjoyable.
Yes.
You know, he's a good guy. She's a good mm-hmm. person.
Mm-hmm. You know, you bring up such a good point. You know, it really, laughter does bring people together because it doesn't matter the color of your skin, what political, nope. you know, what you believe in, you know, it just matters. It doesn't matter.
Oh. That's why when you're
brings us together.
Exactly. And that's why when you're on a cruise or at a wedding where you're put on mm-hmm. a table where you don't know anybody, mm-hmm. as soon as someone, you know, breaks the ice and maybe tells a fairly good, clean joke mm-hmm. And you eat, you actually feel like family.
Mm-hmm.
That bond has been created by two simple things, laughter mm-hmm. and food.
Mm-hmm.
And that is research-based.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that laughter even, so I'm thinking about a lot of, you know, some of the things that have happened since COVID, there's been a lot of isolation, loneliness, our mental health crisis mm-hmm. has exploded. And, you know, we have a lot of people that are living alone or have mobility issues and are unable to get out. So it really gets difficult to find that joy or that happiness all the time. So they certainly can, you know, watch something funny on TV. But do you have any other recommendations or to encourage people to find the joy?
Well, and again, I'm going to go back to, you know, it's different for each person.
Right.
But I think with COVID and the whole 2-3 year episode here, it's critical, especially in aging population, to seek out touch. Which really was we lost that big time, and that was a huge factor in wellness for me as I taught and as I spoke. So touch and laughter both. And so we almost need to come back out of the closets and say, whoa, you know, I need to find an appropriate touch. I need to get my 10 hugs a day or my 10 touches a day. I think I need to search out more laughter with a plan again. Mm-hmm. So specifically, I don't have any because, like I said, it's different for everybody. There are some things that my friends laugh at that I don't think are too so hilarious. No, but they do. So whatever works, whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, that's good that you bring that up. Now, because we all have different personalities, we all come from different backgrounds, and all you know, so everybody's going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So you know, why do we need to add the word laugh to our medicine dispenser? I like that.
That's a good question. I think as you take your vitamins, your medicine, I think there ought to be a little note, a post-it note attached, or a maybe extra container piece that says laugh. And that just word should remind you that you need to take it daily, look for it daily, want it daily, because you need it daily. Mm-hmm. And I wish there was, you know, the pill dispensers, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and laugh.
Yeah, that would be good.
And laugh. Mm-hmm. And so I just think it needs to be dispensed by doctors. I do, sincerely, by counselors, I wellness specialists, wellness coaches, dispensed and prescribed and suggested. And then made available to people more often. People like to read funny things. They like to see funny things. Mm-hmm. It lifts them up. It makes them share with another person.
Yeah, that's so true, because it'll be like, did you see that? Did you see that show? Or did you hear about that? Or, you know, so you do share it.
There you go.
But I like your idea of the dispensers having something to do with laugh on there. You know, that would be... Well, that would be really good. Maybe somebody will create something like that.
That'd be nice.
But, you know, like two physicians, you know, even, you know, have that prescription pad ready and say, you laugh 6.5 times per day, signed doctor.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and especially doctors who are prescribing depression medication.
Mm-hmm.
Along with your depression medication, I'm prescribing you to search out, look for, and act on the act of laughing.
Yes. Yes.
Just that's a natural chemical.
Mm-hmm.
So, that might happen someday. I would love to see it. If my doctor prescribed it for me, I'd give him a standing ovation.
Pretty happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with a little more laughter.
All right.
I want to take a moment to talk about one of our sponsors, All-Star Elevator and Mobility Solutions. Mobility challenges don't have to mean leaving the home that you love. All-Star Elevator and Mobility Solutions specializes in residential and commercial elevators, stairlifts, scooters, and more. The All-Star team offers a free home assessment, and they can help you find the products you need to get around your home and the rest of the world safely and effectively. For example, they have more than 100 scooters in stock, so you'll be sure to find one that meets your needs. You'll find All-Star right here in the Chippewa Valley on Halley Road in Chippewa Falls, and they've got locations in Hudson and La Crosse, too. Learn more by calling All-Star at 715-598-7511 or by visiting allstarmobilityllc.com or allstarelevatorllc.com. Now, back to the podcast.
Okay, we're back with Tom Kidd here today, and we're discussing the benefits of humor and laughter as we age. You know, Tom, I want to go back a little bit and talk about, you know, what are some, we talked about in the beginning, but bit more about, you know, really being able to find laughter or humor, I should say, when you're going through a really tough experience.
Yeah. Yeah. There, and again, it's different for each person, but I recollect a situation where I was teaching a group of educators and they were writing out their life's mission statement. And on how to live the rest of their life. Well, one of the gals in the class had recently found out that she developed cancer and was going to need chemotherapy on a regular basis. So she decided to add humor into it in a very different way. What she did was every time, every week, every 2 weeks or 2 days a week, 3 days a week, whatever it was, she would wear her clown outfit to her chemotherapy appointment. Now, the reaction was good, bad, or indifferent. And I would venture to say that most of it was good. But after she passed away, her husband was a former teacher, and he talked to me and he said, you know, Tom, she really lived all the way up until her death because she focused on things that were tough differently. She chose humor. Mm-hmm. She chose to be in a different mental state. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm sure it was difficult, she chose to laugh while she was experiencing her chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it added life to her years, you know, we'll never know that. I think it did. But at least it was a joyful ride and a joyful ending.
Yes.
To her life.
That's a different way to look at it, isn't it? Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about the difference between, because I think there is a difference between humor mm-hmm. and laughter.
Sure. Humor is the act of laughing at someone. And laughter is anticipating what's going to be funny, then acting on it afterwards. So being funny is acting in a humorous way. Mm-hmm. Laughing is the act of following through on it.
Mm-hmm.
So humor and laughter are different. And you need to be careful with that because it's important for us to be humorous when we can and laugh when we can in the appropriate situations and in the right context, because there are certainly a lot of people that can be hurt in the process of laughter and in the, quote, a piece of humor. Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a fine line there is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. I think that's similar to, you know, there's a difference between what is happy and what is joy.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You know, happy is more in the moment. Mm-hmm. Joy is more, you're going to have joy, kind of like what you were saying about that woman under all circumstances, you know, she was choosing joy
right.
versus that being in that moment.
Absolutely right.
So what's the importance then of, you know, laughing with and not, certainly there is an importance, but laughing with, not at others.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a real bullying problem. It doesn't matter whether it be adolescents or older adults can
and
do the same thing.
And it carries through.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I think it's critical that we differentiate and make that difference understood by kids as early as possible. The position of laughing with and laughing at others, because some kids in the process of bullying will laugh at others, and then when they're confronted will say, I was just laughing with.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need to know that that can be very dangerous and very hurtful, and continue that all the way through adulthood. A lot of ways with adults, we don't stop and think sometimes in what we say and how we say it.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make a cognizant point to say, I'm laughing with you. I'm not laughing at you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. That's why I'm laughing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And actually say that to kind of break the stigma there, because somebody could take offense to being laughed at. And when they're not being laughed at, they're just being laughed with.
Mm-hmm. So, and it doesn't matter your age.
It does not matter your age. Yeah. In fact, probably on both ends of the continuum, the younger you are and the more older you get, the more harsh it feels,
mm-hmm.
the harder the ramifications, I guess,
mm-hmm.
because there's more feelings involved.
Yeah.
Not to say that there aren't feelings in between, but we're more fragile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't laughed a lot today. I'm going to leave here today, and I'm going to try to get my 6 point. Is it 6.5?
6.5
times in. So I'm going to work on. I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make an effort that's what I want to do. I've been under the weather lately, so I definitely want to do that.
Good. Good. I challenge you to do it. Go out of your way. Find people who are smiling at you. Share a little funny joke. Talk with them for a little while and see. I try to make it a challenge every time I go to Quick Trip for my cappuccino to make the person behind the counter, when they say, have a good day, thanks for coming in, we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to try to share my smile, my genuine smile, my heart with you, and maybe a quick joke or a funny comment and make the eye-to-eye contact and then leave with my cappuccino. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I love the challenge of making others smile and laugh, you know, not just yourself.
And it is a challenge.
But doing it with others and, you know, what you just mentioned, just going out of your way to show a little kindness. Mm-hmm. You know, I always sometimes I'll think about something and I try to, and I want to be genuine,
right.
But I might say to the cashier or whoever, you know, that's a pretty color on you.
Yeah.
Or that looks great on you today.
Right.
Or just something.
Exactly.
You know, and it's amazing the smile, and you could have made that person's day.
Exactly. I've actually taught units on the human body parts, skeletal system, for example, with a clown nose on.
Mm-hmm.
And students 20 years later will say, Mr. Kidd, I remember some of the bones. Remember that day you wore the clown nose?
Yeah.
It's like, I would never remember that, but they made the connection that why would a teacher come in, wear a clown nose, and teach us about the bones, the skeletal system of the human body?
Mm-hmm.
But they made that connection. So,
yes,
any ways you can. So kudos to you. Good luck for you today. And I think once you find a pathway to do that, you feel more comfortable, you feel more joy, you feel more happiness, and you live longer, you live healthier.
Yes. And hopefully our listeners will also choose to have the mindset of laughing and getting that 6.5 times in a day.
Right.
So I really appreciate you coming here today and sharing your enthusiasm and your expertise and on something very, very important.
You are welcome, and thank you for inviting me. I'd like to finish with one last quote.
Perfect.
And it is this: if you take life too seriously, you will develop serious illnesses. So everybody think about that. If you take life too seriously, you will develop serious illnesses. So we'll leave you with that quote, and thanks for letting me come in today.
Thanks, Tom.
You bet.
This is Tom from Volume 1. Thanks again to Lisa and to her guest, and thanks to you for joining us for the Journey Ahead podcast, Aging Well in the Chippewa Valley. Volume 1 presents this podcast in partnership with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eau Claire County. And it's all made possible by Grace Home Respiratory and All-Star Elevator and Mobility Solutions. Learn more about this and our other podcasts at volume1.org.